Thank you for downloading the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast. For more podcasts as well as breaking news, visit prweek.com.
Hello and welcome to the PR Week. This is Steve Barrett. I'm the editor-in-chief of PR Week. We're on location this week. That's why it's a bit noisy in the background, but it's a bit of fun. We're at the Brand Film Festival workshop. And we're talking brand film, how you make great films, how you make them cut through, how you work with clients, and how you get to make that viral film that everybody's trying to do. We've got Max Joseph with us, who's a filmmaker from Hungry Man Productions. He's also a TV host, and his film From Dream to Reality for Samsung is being shown tonight at the gala screening. Max, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for being here. And we've got Erin Haynes-Stern, who's from Observatory New York, which was formerly known as CAA Marketing, and you've just rebranded, haven't you?
So, yep, that's...
Thank you, Max. Max is helping with the sound here. He's done this before. So, thanks for joining us, Erin. And you've got a brilliant film in from Chipotle, which was, we'd worked with RZA, Wu-Tang Clan, and it's a really lovely film. So let's start on that one. Talk us through how that came about, how you came to work with RZA, and what's it like working with someone like that on a brand film rather than, you know, a normal actor, as it were.
Sure. I mean, I have to give a shout out to the team that's been working on the Chipotle business for 7 years, and some of them are still with us and some of them have moved on. So that work has always been done from a very collaborative space with the client, and the vision for the Chipotle piece specifically that made it so powerful was just how do you communicate the simplicity of only having 52 ingredients, because every menu that you get to anywhere else has got upwards of 300 to 500 ingredients. It's not just simple flour, water, beans, cheese, like it's not simple. And so the idea behind that specifically came when we started looking at parallels between food and music and how ingredients are like instruments, and chefs and composers. We found all these very very clear parallels between the two, and then obviously working with RZA was an absolute dream for everybody who was on the team, and it's insane that wasn't an option for us. And so
it worked really well, didn't it? It was almost like a xylophone effect with playing the ingredients. It really came over well.
I mean, he worked with a fantastic orchestra to kind of compose all 52 of those individual stems. We had partners in Spotify and in SoundCloud that put out those 52 stems, and people went out and like riffed and made their own tracks. We worked with other artists that kind of took those stems and built their own music that kind of was built of what their Chipotle order would have been. And we had, so the Head and the Heart was one, Grizz was another one, and then Wu-Tang did an original track off those stems, which is like the biggest dream come true for anybody. And it really resonated. We saw, it was a full online experience, and people, there were something like almost 9 million people who went to the site. There was an order, like you would create your order, would spit out a code, you'd take that into a Chipotle, redeem your order, and then know that was the song that you had just created, was the order that you were eating at that moment.
Fantastic.
So that's super cool.
Yeah, we'll talk about distribution methods because I think that's important. Max, you've got yet another great client, Samsung, which has done, you know, been in this space for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your film and how that came about, and what you felt it achieved for them.
Well, this was a kind of an odd collaboration. Most of the time, you know, the client, you know, comes to you or has an idea of the thing that they want to do. And I had done some work previously with Samsung and my friend Casey Neistat, who's done a lot of work with them. And I'd done a few short films with them last year. And while I was doing them, their whole campaign was about creators and allowing creators who kind of play by alternative rules of filmmaking, allowing them to do their thing, essentially. And I'd had this project that I'd been trying to get off the ground for 2 years, and I'd already kind of pitched it to different brands and companies trying to raise the money, because it wasn't a thing I could just do on my own.
It's just like the flipbook.
Yeah, idea. Creating a flipbook on a highway, essentially.
Yeah,
and
incredible.
It was kind of more than a DIY type of project. Yeah. And I went to car companies, and like they were, you know, I went to their agencies, and it's a lot of red tape, and then they're like, oh, this might be dangerous. And brands aren't generally used to working that way. They're not used to having a filmmaker or someone come to them with an idea. They're used to having their agency come up with a bunch of ideas that they then suss out, and then, you know, there's a whole process there. So it's kind of like swimming upstream. And I'd kind of struck out, but I had done some work with Samsung, and they had a really great team over there with Paul Lies and Jesse Coulter and Mark Matthew, and they have they've created this really nice environment for creators. And I was like, I pitched it to them. I was like, it's worth a shot. And they actually went for it. They liked the idea, and so we made it. And that story I just told you is honored and told within the video itself. So yeah, it's very transparent in terms of how this came into being. And we put it out on my social media channels alone. It didn't come out on the Samsung channels, and it did really well on YouTube and other platforms.
Yeah, so you have to think differently from a distribution point of view with these films as well, don't you? It's not like buying a 30-second spot or a 60-second spot.
Right, I mean, each project, each film, each campaign is different, and they are their own unique animals at this point. And this one in particular, because I happen to have a social media following, because I happen to also make a TV show, and because I happened to come up with this idea before even Samsung getting involved, it only made sense that I would put it out on my channels. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that it should always be, the distribution strategy needs to always be reevaluated every single time, because there are now so many shifting factors in how something should be distributed.
Jesse Coulter, obviously well known to CAA and now Samsung. And do you think it was peak Neustadt? You know, it wasn't as far out there maybe as some of the films he does. So how was it working with Casey? And you presume you'd worked with him before.
Yeah, no, Casey and I have worked together a lot. It's always peak Neustadt. I mean, there's only one speed. And that's pedal to the metal.
What was the hardest piece about filming that? Because, like you said, it wasn't easy. And, you know, we've seen some films today that aren't easy, or clearly not easy to film.
The hardest piece was stomaching the shift from the original idea, which was very big. And I don't think I realized how big it was. I mean, it was kind of Christo level big, or not quite, like maybe like sub Christo, but that's still like very large and expensive and time consuming. And I kind of had to, after kind of selling the idea, pitching the idea, getting everyone psyched up about it, then realizing that I couldn't quite pull it off what I had put forth.
Right, right.
And the shame, humiliation, embarrassment, backstepping, kind of sidestepping, you know, how do I now turn this into something else that A, I think is cool, B, the brand thinks is what they signed up for in some way, shape, or form, and dealing with that was maybe kind of the toughest part, but it worked out.
Yeah, yeah. Erin, working with someone like Chipotle, I mean, they won a gold line at Cannes, mm-hmm. didn't they? What was that film called?
That was the Back to the Stars.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
That was like original Chipotle team.
Yeah, yeah.
That was so when cool. JC was still, I think, with us.
And how much does this depend on having a good client? You know, someone who's going to give you that space to do.
I mean, it's everything. It's really, and we see it with all of our clients, is that unless you're willing to step away from making a 30-second TV ad or something that is interruptive at the core of it, make something that is attractive, like, you're just not going to get anywhere with that client. And so, the Chipotle clients have constantly been incredible supports and have driven us in that direction all the time. But yeah, it's all about the client. Like, unless they're ready, it's not going to happen, and you can't force it. Because if you force it, it's going to blow up, and you're not going to have a relationship anymore. But that's a client that we've had an amazing relationship with, and same with our AB InBev clients. They're also ready to push it and are looking at fantastic ways around the world of creating meaningful, like, branded work.
You talked about the 30-second spot, etc., and people aren't watching TV in the same way. They're skipping through ads, they're blocking ads, and brands can't get stories over in the same way. Are we at a tipping point in brand filmmaking? You know, Jay Goodman, your boss, has kind of said that 10 years ago, and it still seems like, you
almost
know,
there.
Is there a flood of brand films around the corner? Where are we at in the process?
I think that there is still, there is and will always be room for a 15, 30, and a 30 second as long as we have traditional broadcast television. Like, that's just never going to go away. And we still have pre-roll and we have like mid-roll. Like, those are realities of just a media model that we're all kind of tied into and complicit in. But yeah, we're at the point where if you're going to connect, it's not going to be because you've annoyed me and interrupted me in the middle of something that I was trying to watch, and now I have to watch 6 ads that I don't want to watch because it's an ad break. Like, we just can't be there anymore. And we know this. We know that, like, all of our viewers are not on regular television anymore. We know people are flipping. We know everyone has an ad blocker. So if you're going to make anything to engage your audience, it better be meaningful and it better be entertaining. And, like, if you're not doing those, it's going to be really hard to connect.
Yeah, Max, last year at our Brand Film Festival, one of the featured films was Lifeline, which was made by Armando Bo, who's an Oscar-winning film screenwriter for Birdman. But he's involved in brand films. So do you feel as a filmmaker that we're at a tipping point in terms of brands getting involved in filmmaking? And on the one hand, he might be making a Hollywood Oscar-winning film. On the other hand, he's making a brand film with a mobile phone parts company.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a tipping point or an inflection point or... I mean, it's certainly becoming more and more... They're becoming more and more relevant as every media format kind of is now on the same shelf with one another, right? There, it's all just kind of falling under the umbrella of content. The difference between a Netflix show and a film, or a Netflix film, or an HBO film, and a 5-minute viral video, or a 10-minute vlog, or a 60-second Instagram story, they're all now on the same shelf. They're all competing next to each other.
Yeah, and the Breaking 2 film and Nike is like a full-on documentary.
Right,
like
and when you're on the same shelf as all of these, like, you know, on one end of the spectrum you have like a 2-hour, or you've got Game of Thrones, or, you know, Stranger Things. On the other end of the spectrum you literally have internet pornography, and you're like, you need to offer, your content needs to have value beyond wrapping paper. In wrapping paper being maybe like a terrible reduction of what, you know, traditional marketing can be. You need to offer information or inspiration or an emotional journey that ends with a catharsis, a ride of some sign, or a laugh. But it needs to have value beyond just representing a brand.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's great because now brands can actually get in the entertainment game and the documentary game and the kind of greater storytelling game that's beyond serving their own product necessarily.
Erin, what would your advice be to brands who are thinking about dipping their toe in that brand film water?
I mean, do it for the right reasons. Like, have a reason for doing it. You can't just make a film if you don't really have anything to say. So make sure that you know what the purpose is of the piece of communication and why you're doing it. And then trust your partners, trust your creators, trust your director. Put trust in the people who make entertainment. Like, a lot of the work that we do, we have a small, tight creative team, but we basically open up and extend into the entire entertainment ecosystem. So when we're making something, we're using entertainers, we're not using the guy who knows how to write an ad spot. Like, we don't need that anymore.
Because it's all the same now.
It's all the same.
Right, there's all the partitions have come
exactly.
down.
Advertising, so, media, digital, PR, etc.
And so reaching out into that community and making yourself valuable to them, and then also just knowing why you're doing it. Like, do it for a reason. And keep doing it when you do it. Don't stop.
Max, you on the panel we just listened to, you said you think filmmakers should aim for that viral moment or cutting through. How can you achieve that in terms of a brand film?
I mean, a filmmaker shouldn't necessarily swing for the fences in terms of aiming for virality every time. They should make something that speaks to their truth and obviously the truth of what the brand is going for. But I think it only behooves everyone to cut through the noise and to aim to cut through the noise. And as Aaron said, that means I'm waiting for the PA to start.
That's all right. This is a live broadcast.
Oh, it's live. Okay.
Well, it's not live, but it's.
So anyway, the point is that you need to cut through the noise, and you need a client that also understands that in order to cut through the noise, things might get a little uncomfortable. The spot or the film needs to feel a little dangerous or a little outside of the boundary, because those are the things that cut through the noise. If you play it too safe and if all the edges are too rounded, then it's invisible and no one's going to see it and no one's going to care and you will have wasted your money.
Yeah. And finally, from both of you, what's the biggest mistake that brands make when they do brand films? Is it really that old thing about just insisting on plonking the brand in the middle of it? Is that still the thing? Are there any other things that they do that you would advise against?
I think the thing that we're seeing that is almost damaging is that it's just an over delivery of product and it's a missing, like you're missing the brand essence. So if you look at what that brand means and you're able to extrapolate that and insert that into the film, then you've done your job. It's not so much about like front of camera placement and the perfect product shot. That is when it feels janky and like not true.
It can't feel like BS, right? Everyone's BS detector is very good right now. I mean, the majority of consumers and audience members are filmmakers themselves. They're using their camera, they're making videos all day, every day. They can sense, they can smell what's BS and what's not. So, you know, having a brand really know what they want from this spot. Not a general idea, we want this, that, and the other, or we want to hit these check boxes. No, it's like this is the one thing we want to get out of it, and we want to get this message across as loudly, clearly, and as exciting as possible, like without any BS. Like that if you're not doing that, then you are getting it wrong, I think.
All right, great time to end this as the noise levels are getting even louder. So Max, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us and being part of the Brand Film Festival, and look forward to seeing what you create over the next 12 months.